Okay, this week is Parashas Vayakel. Parashas Vayakel begins with the mitzvah of Shabbos. Vayakel Moshe es sheish es yamim te'osim alacha v'yom ha'shvi Shabbos l'Hashem lokecha. So this week is a week that's as good as ever to talk about some inyanim relating to Shabbos Kodesh. I have here a sefer called Oitzer Machmadim Chelik Beis. The sefer was published not that long ago, only a few months ago. And Chelik Aleph was a bestseller. And Chelik Beis follows in the same derech. He has over here, it's a collection of things off the beaten track. Very nice collection of Yesodos Chidushim, focusing primarily on Minhagim. Minhagim relating to all different topics throughout the year. And he has a nice section on Shabbos. So being that this week is Parshas Vayakel, Vayakel begins with the mitzvah of Shabbos. I want to go through a couple of chapters and discuss with you some of these interesting things. Okay, first I'll just tell you with one interesting verse someone told me 2 nights ago, that this week's Parsha begins with the mitzvah of Havara, Lo Sevaru Eish B'chol Mosh Vosechem Yom HaShabbos. And the Gemara is disturbed as to why the Torah had to specify the mitzvah of Eish. There are Lamed Tes Melochis in Tulcha Shabbos, and almost none of the Melochis are mentioned in the Torah. We only know that through Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Yet, for whatever reason, the Torah specifies as the mitzvah of Lo Sevaru Eish B'chol Mosh Vosechem Yom HaShabbos. And the question is what? The Gemara says two reasons. Well, number one reason is to tell you a chiddush that there is no chiyuv karis. It's a lav. Havara lilav yotzes. That lighting a fire, kindling a fire on Shabbos, there is no chiyuv karis, there is no chiyuv skila, there is only a chiyuv malkas. We do not paskin like that. The other reason given in the Gemara is to teach us that just like this malacha of Havara is a single malacha, and one is chayiv karis for the malacha alone, it comes to teach you, davar bo'a shoyi b'chlal, v'yotza min ha'klal, lo'i l'lam l'atzma yotza, ela l'lam l'kol ha'klal kul yotza, that every single one of the lamites malachas by itself alone is enough to be chayiv for karis, for skila, for its violation. So if a person were to do theoretically all 39 malachas on Shabbos, he would be chayiv 39 sets of karis, which would mean that if he does it b'shogeg, he would be required to bring 39 korbanos. Okay, so there's a Baal HaTum. The Baal HaTum is something very strange, which no one really, which is very hard to understand, and he says there are different derech drush. The reason why it says that the Havara is because Havara is a form of malacha which is koilel through Havara. I don't remember the exact words of the Baal HaTum. It is a malacha that you can do all the malachas. All the malachas can be done through Eish. Now, the most mefarshim until this generation struggled with the words of the Baal HaTum. What does that mean? Why? What does it mean that through the koyach of Eish, one can theoretically do every single one of the lamites malachas? Someone mentioned this to me from one of the Gedolim Eretz Yisrael, is that in this generation we understand what this means. Because electricity is the koyach of Eish. Now, it's a very shy, halacha l'maaseh, so we don't pass in them, it's mamish Eish. But electricity really is the koyach of Eish. According to the Beis Yitzchak, electricity, the koyach of electricity is the koyach of Eish. And we know as a fact that through electricity you can do everything. You can do Libun, you can do Tchina, Afia. Every single one of the Lamed Tes Malachas can be done today, in this day and age, in the 21st century, through electricity, through a machine that operates on electricity. So they want to suggest that the words of the Baal HaTum, the words of the Torah, was mamash al ridna ruach hakodesh for this generation where lo sevaru esh b'chol mosh v'osechem, it's taka malacha, through electricity, we can invent any machine that can do any malacha, and it's a malacha, it's a pasuk which is koila all of the Lamed Tes Malachas. Yeah. That's a shiloh. That's a machine matzah. That's the whole shiloh of the machine matzah. She matzah. So obviously it's not a lechatchila. But there's something there. Eish, electricity is Eish, and through electricity we can use electricity to do any single malacha. Interesting idea. Okay, let's go to the first chapter. The first chapter here, one of the chapters is Kabbalah Shabbos. When we have Mekabel Shabbos, we do something very strange. When we come to the Boi V'Sholom Ateres Pala Gam V'Simcha V'Tzola, we turn around. We turn around to the west, to the back of the Beis HaKnesses, and we recite that last stanza, and then we bow twice, Boichala, Boichala. Where does this come from? So the answer is it comes from Tzfas, but it's not the way it was originally done. The way a Kabbalah Shabbos was done in Tzfas was where they actually went out into the field. You have to know the Makor, what are we doing? They walked outside of the city limits. The earliest source, the Arizal, okay, these are the Mekubalim in Tzfas when they instituted Kabbalah Shabbos. The truth is, it's not only for them, it comes from the time of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Issi ben Yehuda, he's going to try to bring this into the Gemara. They actually went out into the fields and they said, Boichala, Boichala, to greet Shabbos in the field itself. So he brings down over here something very interesting that, who does he bring this down from? Let me try to find over here. We know the Gemara in Masechta Bava Kama that says, Issi ben Yehuda Oimer, Rots Chayif Mibnei Shehu Mishon. If a person runs in the street and hits his friend and causes him harm, he is chayif to pay for damages. Because a person that's running in the street is a masik. You have no right to run in the street, you are chayif. Umoide Issi, even though Issi in Bava Kama says that if you run in the street and you cause someone harm, you chayiv, Umoide Issi be'erev Shabbos, bein hashmashos, shuhu potor, bebnei sharot spirishos. Because if you run erev Shabbos bein hashmashos, you have run with permission. Now the Gemara is my berishos ikah. What's the rishos? The Gemara says, Kidrabi, this is the Gemara. This is the Gemara Mesach Bava Kama, Kidrabi Chanina, Demar Bechanina, Bohu v'neitse likras kala malchasa, the amri lo likras Shabbos kala malchasa. Now, according to some of the Mefarshim, they learn Shan the Gemara is that erev Shabbos, you're working in the fields, you have a job, and it's 4 o'clock, and it's erev Shabbos, and the balabai. Okay, fine, you can now go home. So you have 5 minutes to get home in order to get dressed, take a shower, put on your clothing, and go to shul. So when you're running home from work. You're running home from work in order to greet the Shabbos, to prepare for Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. My Bereshusi, go to Rabbi Chanina, the Rabbi Chanina, bohu, v'neitze, let us go out, v'neitze, likras kala malchasa, to greet Shabbos, it's called the kala, the queen malchasa. The army of likras Shabbos, kala malchasa. Same idea. That means you're running home from work, to arrive home. So since you're allowed to do so, here the people, the bystanders in the street, have to protect themselves from getting run over by people who go through red lights. You can go through a red light erev Shabbos on the way home from work, and if you go through a red light, anyone gets hurt, you're not responsible. That's seemingly what it says. However, that's not very meduric in the Gemara. That's also some of the Parshim Shah in the Gemara. But that's not really the Gemara. The Gemara says, Bohu v'neitse, let us go out to greet. And also the term Bein Hashmashos, it's too late. A person already has to be home at the time of Bein Hashmashos. Why does Sylvie hear the word Bein Hashmashos? So someone suggests, he brings a whole collection of Rav Chaim Vital, that we think that Kabbalah Shabbos comes from the Mekubalim from 400 years ago in Tzfas is not so. The Ein of Kabbalah Shabbos goes back from the time of the Gemara, and that's what the Gemara really means. The Gemara means if you're coming home from work and you hurt someone running your chayif, there's no excuse to be negligent on your way home from work erev Shabbos, running home. You have to be careful. When Chagamara says you're exempt, that means if you're running to go to Kabbalah Shabbos, it's now Bein Hashmashos, the sun is about to set, and now you're going to be Mekabel Shabbos. In the time of Chazal, they were Mekabel Shabbos by leaving the city, going out into the field, where you can see on the mountain, where you can see the sunset, and saying, Boichala, Boichala. different expressions of the Gemara. They would say a mizmor. It's not even exactly clear what they would do. That is when you're potter from causing a person harm. If you're running from the city out into the field to be makabel Shabbos, and in the process of doing so you run over someone, you hurt someone, that's where you're potter, because you've gone out berishus. So it comes out that this idea really is a very ancient concept of being makabel Shabbos.
Now, the east or the west?
He's supposed to face the west. So this is a very good question. Where exactly do you face? So the time of Chazal, they went to the west. They went out to the west because in the west, they're greeting the sun setting. Because when the sun sets, that's when Shabbos enters. Very good. They bring either it means they're greeting the sun, because the sun setting is the time of the day when now Shabbos begins. Or some want to suggest, and this is where we have a very big nafkamina, some want to suggest is that the Shekhinah is in the west. There's a general principle that even though we pray towards Mizrach, because we live in Chutz Lars, we live in America, so we face Yerushalayim, we daven towards Mizrach, Beis HaMikdash, but the Shekhinah, Hashem's presence, generally is to be found in the west.
Because when you're welcoming, you should be welcoming the east, where that's where the sun is really coming from.
No, why is the Shabbos coming from the east, where it's dark? Okay, I hear what you're saying, but when the sun sets, when the day is over, I don't know the answer.
You're saying welcome to something that's going.
Well, when the day leaves, I'm not really even sure if they went out to the west. It just could be they left the city. Where exactly, which side of the city did they go to? I'm not sure. I have to look more carefully. But there is such a concept of going to the west, because Chazal say that the Shekhinah rests in the west. In the Beis HaMikdash, where was the Aron? Where was the Kodesh HaKadoshim? In the west. The Kodesh HaMaravi. The Shekhinah Lezaza from the Kosel Amaravi. The Shekhinah is in the west side of the Beis HaMikdash. That represents that when you will makabel the Shekhinah, Shabbos that brings the Shekhinah, it is in the west. And the problem is that Bizman HaZeh, we do not have an opportunity to go out of the city. The cities that we live in are modern cities, they're much too large. You can't actually pick yourself up and walk out and go into, leave the city limits. So is there an inyan to leave the Beis HaKnesses and enter into the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses? So this appears to be a big nafkamina of different minhagim. There are minhagim, there were definitely Gedolei Yisrael, that the custom was that the makabel Shabbos, they recited the entire Kabbalah Shabbos in the Chotzer Beis HaKnesses. You don't recite Kabbalah Shabbos in the shul, you leave the actual sanctuary, you go into the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses to the makabel Shabbos as a zecher for what Chazal did in earlier times. They actually left the city, they went out into the field in order to be makabel Shabbos. Now, for most of us, that's also not practical. The courtyards today of the Baltic and the Seos are not large enough to accommodate the entire Tzibur. It does not work. So therefore, some hold that there's nothing you can probably should do. It's either you do it the right way or you don't do it at all. Either you go out of the city, or at the very least, you go out into the courtyard. And if you're not going to do that, so there's no purpose in turning around and turning the opposite direction. And therefore, you do nothing. And indeed, it appears from what he says, there are people that don't do anything. They just recite Kabbalah Shabbos in the Beis HaKnesses, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. We have the nusach that was given to us from the Mekubalim, from the Kabbalah Shabbos. We say the six Mizmorim, on Hashem, on the Bekoyach, Luchadoidi, and then we say the Mizmor Shin Hashem Moloch, and it's not necessary to turn around. However, what most of us do is we have a token fulfillment of this concept of Bowie, let us go out to the Kabbalah Shabbos Malchasa, is that we turn around, making the bad face. And the big question is, where exactly are you turning around to? So some are of the opinion you're supposed to turn towards the door of the shul. Not to the west, not to Ma'ariv, not to Mizrach. It doesn't make a difference. First of all, we live in a very complicated world where many shuls don't even daven Mizrach. Probably only half the shuls in this community daven Mizrach. What? Over here, where do they daven? Facing what, upstairs?
Well, upstairs,
all the main shul.
Over the main shul. The main shul daven's Ma'ariv. And the weekday shul they daven Mizrach. And some shuls they daven, many shuls in Chaim Berlin, Torah Das, they daven Doron. I know in Yerushalayim Avenue, Jay the Davin, the Tzofin. But it's everyone, yeah. Okay, so the question is, when you're saying Kabbalah Shabbos, what are you exactly, so you want to fulfill this token and minog of going out into the field. The Ikar minog is to go out into the field. We're not going out to the field. We're not even going into the Chotzer. So we want just to turn around. When we say, Boi B'Shalom Atar Espal, the last stanza of L'Chadod, to fulfill this token fulfillment. So what should we do? So where do you turn to? So some say you should turn to the Pesach Beis HaKnesses. So it doesn't make a difference difference where, which direction the shul is facing for davening. Mizrach, Marav, Tzaf, and Darim doesn't make a difference. Turn towards the door, because turning towards the door is the equivalent of leaving the Beis HaKnesses, going into the Chotzer Beis HaKnesses, and ideally leaving the city, going out all the way into the city. That's really what you should do, face the door. It just happens to be that many shuls, they daven Mizrach, and the door is in the back. That's probably ideal. When you come in from the back, you don't come in from the side, so you don't come from the front. So it happens to be that you get lucky that when you turn around, you're facing Mayrav. This is approach number one. Face the door. Others disagree. They hold that if you're not going to leave the city, you should face the west, because the west is where the Shechina is located. Whatever that means, even though we daven Mizrach to Yerushalayim, but the Shechina, when the Shechina arrives, it arrives in the west. So it doesn't make a difference where in the shul, where you're davening in the Beis HaKnesses, you should turn towards the west. If you're davening in the shul where they face west, so there's nowhere to turn. So if you're davening upstairs in the main shul, you would just face forward, because that's where the Shechina is. You get up and forward. People, most of them, they sit down for l'chadodi. So you're getting up, you mekabel the Shechina, you get up and you face forward. However, others say no, you should do something different, which appears to be the common minhag, is that whatever your davening is, you make an about face.
How did the minhag get to Ashkenaz?
How did the minhag, I guess, I don't know how it got.
That's why 11 they don't say Kabbalah on Shabbat.
They don't?
17 they don't, they start with minhag.
Where?
I mean, they're from shuls in Venice.
They don't sit all together. They never accepted it. It's a Kabbalistic thing. Mizma Shir of the Mashabas.
Crazy davening out there from last summer. Friday night Shabbos, crazy border. Everything
they did
was crazy.
They say Mizma Shir of the Mashabas twice.
Okay, there is one other thing I want to bring to your attention, and that is there's definitely proof to this. There's something called a virtual Mizrach. Okay, there's something called the virtual Mizrach, which is if you're dining in a shul and the shul is facing Tzofin, which is totally off the wall, right? What is Tzofin? But due to circumstances, that's how the shul is laid out. That's the way, the only way they can daven. J. What? Avenue J, daven Tzofin. What?
No, the bottom shul.
Whatever. Tzofin? We all say Tzofin. So whatever it is, whatever reason, there are situations where there's no choice. The way the furniture is arranged, they have to daven in the direction. There is an approach in Halacha, in the Mishnah Berurah, he alludes to this idea, is that in this shul, wherever you're facing, it becomes the virtual Mizrach. That's Mizrach. That's considered to be your Mizrach. The Mela, since there is something called a Ma'ariv, you want to face Ma'ariv in the Beis HaKnesses, it would appear that this is really where the common minhag comes from, that in a shul, wherever you're facing, you turn, make an about face, 180 degrees, in order to be Mekabel Shabbos, because we view the Mokum of the Aron Kodesh to be a virtual Mizrach. The Mela, when you make an about face, you're facing the virtual Ma'ariv, and the virtual Ma'ariv is where the Shechina is located, where you want to be in Mekabel, the Shechina. Shabbos is arriving, you want to be in Mekabel, the Shechina, you're facing Ma'ariv, and that appears what we do. Someone told me that in Yeshiva University, They have a lot of Talmidei Chachamim who know too much. So, and there's another very big dilemma. This idea of a virtual Mizrach is a controversial idea, and there is another halacha, it's a contradiction in Mishnah Berurah, that if you're davening in a shul where the Aron is not facing Mizrach, so when you dive in the Shimon Esher, you should face Mizrach. So if the Aron is facing Ma'ariv, let's say Ma'ariv,
was north.
So you daven Shemona Esrei,
the door which was east.
East. When you daven Shemona Esrei, you face this direction. So then, so the Mishnah Berurah. So it's even worse. So sometimes you go to a shul, everyone is facing the Aron Kodesh, and there's one guy that's facing this other way. So the Mishnah Berurah says, don't do that. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say they're all wrong. Everyone should really be facing Mizrach, even though the Aron is in the north, and everyone is facing the davening towards the north, which is wrong. You should not be Mishana from the Tzibur,
right?
Because it looks like Mechsek Eshtei Rishuyos. So you have to do, if everyone is doing the wrong thing, you have to do the wrong thing also.
Young Israel J. Rabbi Yoliad faces the east because he's a Wayu person.
Okay, the Mishnah Berurah says that a person should not be parish min hatzibah. What? Okay, so it appears that I have never seen this, but I was told that in the old Beis Hamikdash Yeshiva University there was a very big. There was a lot of confusion, and a lot of people.
Stand on an angle.
Everyone does something different. So everyone, one person faces this way, one person this way, one this way. So my cousin, Rabbi Dr. Meir Soloveitchik, he told me about the situation, what it looks like Friday night, yeah. What it looks like a regular Shemona Esrei. He says a regular Shemona Esrei in the Beis Medrash, you look around and everyone is facing a different direction. There's a lot more than Shtei Rishuyos. There are many Rishuyos. Everyone is facing, but he says that's nothing. If you really want to get a good, you really want to see a sight, get a laugh, is watch Kabbalah Shabbos, because then everyone turns around. So everyone is turning. Everyone is doing something different. One person, some people they turn about face. So if you're facing in an angle, so they're facing the other angle. Some people are facing that way, they're facing this way. Some people are facing no angle. They want to go Mizrach. They're turning around. And some people know the halacha, you're supposed to face the door. And some people are facing the halacha, you're supposed to go to Mirith. So when it comes to Bo Ikala, you have it all. You have people facing every single possible direction.
When you're facing the Mirith, when you turn around to face the...
When you're facing the Mirith, when you're facing the opposite directions, when you're accepting Shabbos. That's when you're accepting, you're greeting Shabbos by facing the opposite direction. It's already too late. Well, it's already too late. We'll talk about that in a moment. When exactly Mekalb Shabbos? Some say really the next moment when you say Mizrach Shalim Shabbos. It's not really an acceptance. It's a formality. Well, when you say the words Mizrach Shalim Shabbos, that's the real formal acceptance of Shabbos, and that's happening after you turn around. But this is a gesture. It's a gesture. I am turning myself to accept the Shechina that is arriving. Where is the Shechina arriving? From, we have now a whole collection of interpretations. Ideally, you should leave the city limits. You should pick yourself up and walk out of the city, go out into the field, and stand on a mountaintop and watch the sunset. That is the ideal thing to do. You can't do that. The next level is to go into the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses. The next thing to do is, ideally, is to face the door. The next thing to do is it leads to face, there's something called facing Mirith, facing the west. The Shechina is in the west. The next thing to do is, if let's say I'm already davening to the west. I'm davening to the west because the shul is configured in such a way I'm davening. So what, I just stand up and face the west? Maybe. But some want to learn in that situation, in order to do something, we consider that where you're facing is a virtual Mizrach, where the Aron is a virtual Mizrach. So the virtual Mirith is to face the opposite direction. Another very big question is, some have the custom where they actually take steps. That since you're trying really to leave, the ideal thing to do is to leave the city limits, and you should not stand in your makam. You should walk up, take a few steps forward as if you want to actually go out and be Mekabalo, when you turn around and you go forward towards the west, wherever you're going, in order to show that you want to be Mekabalo Shabbos. And then there's an opinion that says you should do none of the above. Nothing. Because when it says that you go out to Mekabalo Shabbos, Shabbos is not something that's physical. You have to go take steps out into the west, leave the city. Shabbos is spiritual. It comes upon a person. Have Kavana. I'm hereby being Mekabel Shabbos.
Is right before this Moshiach.
Yes.
I mean, it's before Shabbos?
Uh-huh. Yes, before Shabbos, because there's no Nicham Avelim on Shabbos in public.
Then therefore, when you're doing
Shabbos, correct, that's right. It's just a gesture. It's not a formal acceptance of Shabbos. That is correct. Okay, that concludes this chapter. Let's go now to another chapter. The chapter of Tosef Shabbos. There's a halacha, we learn from these six parashas that a person should be Mekabel, should be Moisef ala Shabbos. It's not just enough to be Mekabel Shabbos. You have to add slightly to Shabbos. I heard this past week from Rabbi Shur. He explained that we know that the Christians have taken for themselves Sunday, and the Muslims have taken for themselves Friday as their holy day. What's the hashgach? Why is it? The Muslims, the religion is a modern religion. The Muslims, both religions, but there are. It does seem that from Chazal there were religions that came before the modern day Islam that celebrated Friday. use Friday as a holy day, and certainly we know that Goyim use Sunday as a holy day. What's the Hashkach? Why is it that they take these 2 days, the days of Friday and the days of Sunday? So he explained, based upon various Sfarim, is that the Kedusha that they are trying to draw for themselves can only come from our Kedusha. The real, only true Kedusha is Shabbos Kodesh. If a Goy, a non-Jew, wants to draw sanctity, and it's debatable if there is something, any degree of sanctity, what type of sanctity the non-Jews have, it can only be Yoinek from Kedusha Shabbos. And just like we find that our Shabbos does expand to Sunday and to Friday, Tosefes Shabbos, we're Moisef Mechol al HaKodesh by Mekabel Shabbos early, and we're Moisef al HaKodesh by ending Shabbos a bit late. That is why we are the other religions are able to draw sanctity by only a Friday or a Sunday, not any time during the week, because they also have this, you have an ability to be Yoinik from Kedusha Shabbos, like we are Yoinik from Kedusha Shabbos with Tosefes Shabbos. And he says something very interesting. He says, the way that Klal Yisrael, the technique that we are able to be prevail over Yishmael and Esav in gezeros and problems they make for us is by being Nizhar in the Kedusha. He's saying this from different areas from in Tosefes Shabbos. Since the Koyach of Yishmael comes from Friday, from being yoinik from the kedusha of Shabbos on Friday, if for a zuchus, a segula, I don't know what these terms mean. This is beyond our understanding. But he's saying these very holy ideas is that if we find ourselves in a generation where we have trouble from Yishmael or we have trouble from Esav, the technique, the method to go about overcoming spiritually the dangers that they put upon us is by being nizar and sanctifying Shabbos, Friday, and Sun, Taisa Shabbos. Being marabit in Taisa Shabbos according to all the halachas, not for real, doing what we're really supposed to do in a holy way, that is a technique to be goyver on the koyach of Yishmael and Ace. Again, these are very, very, very deep, mystical ideas. Now, in regard to Taisa Shabbos, there's a very big debate, a very big dilemma. If a person has to formally be mekabel Shabbos early, person should be moisef michol al hakodesh. Now, the ideal thing, of course, to do is even before sunset, when the Shabbos actually begin. The Shabbos begin with tzeis hakochavim. The Shabbos begin with sunset. There are many different opinions, but ideally, a person should really be mekabel Shabbos even before sunset. We all Ashkenazim, and we don't do malacha already from bein hashmashos, which we consider from sunset. So, a few minutes before sunset, already we should accept upon ourselves Shabbos to sunrise. And most women, the way old candle lighting is always announced at least 18 minutes before sunset. So when a woman lights candles 18 minutes before sunset, she is formally mekabel Shabbos before, that's Tosefes Shabbos. Now many women don't light exactly 18 minutes, they light more like 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, okay, but every moment counts. Every moment that a woman lights before sunset is a kiyum de'oraisa of Tosefes Shabbos. A woman can light candles even from Yplaga Mincha, an hour and 15 minutes before Shazmanios, before sunset. Every single moment is a fulfillment of Tosefes Shabbos. A woman has it easy because she makes the bracha, and making the bracha is a formal acceptance of Shabbos. The big problem is, and it's discussed in the Mishnah Berurah, and it's discussed with all the Pesachim, what about men? We don't find men formally being mekabel Tosefes Shabbos on Friday. They go to shul, they get dressed, they go to mincha. Mincha is usually daven mincha early, or they daven mincha 10 minutes before sunset. Candle lighting is 18 minutes, and approximately 8 minutes later is mincha. Mincha and shul takes about 10 minutes, whatever it is. You go a little bit later, and they daven mincha. And after mincha, you begin l'chunaranna, some say you did nefesh, and then you get up to, at some point in time, you get up to mizmashir, kabbal shabbos, l'chunaranna, boichala, boichala, boi v'shalom, and then mizmashir liyayim ha-shabbos. L'chor, according to all opinions, when you say mizmashir liyayim ha-shabbos, that is considered to be a formal acceptance of Shabbos, and even those that are not so happy with mizmashir, when you say baruchu, l'chol ha-deyas, you're mekabel Shabbos. But usually, by the time you say baruchu, by the time you say mizmashir liyayim ha-shabbos, it's probably at least 20 minutes after Shkia. Now, that's not so bad, because according to some opinions, Shabbos doesn't really begin until 50 minutes after Shkia. So if you're saying mizmashir liyayim ha-shabbos 20 minutes after Shkia, to some degree, that really is a very nice Kabbalah Shabbos. That's considered to be a formal acceptance of Shabbos. But it's not ideal, because you should really be Mekabel Shabbos before sunset, like your wife. Your wife is Mekabel Shabbos when she lights candles 18 minutes before. But yet we don't find any person saying verbally, I'm hereby Mekabel Shabbos early. So the question is, why not? How then are we, why are we not nizar? Are we not careful to be Mekabel Shabbos before sunset, as women do, and say, I'm hereby Mekabel Shabbos to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of Tosefes Shabbos?
Based on the Gemara, everyone runs to shul for Erev Shabbos.
Well, you're touching upon another very interesting thing. Today it's becoming a new trend where people are davening mincha early. They're davening mincha Erev Shabbos at 1 o'clock, at 12:30, at work, or they have minyanim on their block. It's becoming a new trend. So there are rabbanim that are very upset with this new trend, because it's leading to chil Shabbos. I know personally, I used to never daven Shabbos, never ever daven mincha early on a Friday. They didn't have an opportunity to daven early. So you come to shul, you daven mincha, you're coming to shul, you're in shul 10 minutes before sunset. So once you're in shul, there's no nisayon to be mechal Shabbos. You're already in shul. But when you daven mincha early, you got to watch the clock. And sometimes you really cut it close. You can cut it close. Oh, one more thing. I just want to do one more thing. Turn on this light, and it's already 5 minutes before sunset. You look at the clock, I got 5 minutes. One more thing. One more email.
Maybe
okay, want to go check the car. Do something in the car.
That's the reason that they're not in the car, because you can always, let's say your wife tells you, you know, they forgot to put on the crap.
Okay, but it's not, right, so it's not such a good idea. So there are Rabbanim that are I've heard this from Rabbanim, they are not happy with early minyanim on Shabbos. They find that it's a very nice thing to have a mincha early. You're not allowed to eat, there's a whole shulchan aruch why you should have a mincha early. Not necessarily you should have a mincha early, ideally you should have a mincha late, that's a discussion in of itself. But in this particular instance, yotza schoroi behefseidai, because if you were to daven mincha later, it's more likely you'll be nizer in kedusha Shabbos to a greater degree. Because if you have to daven mincha before Shabbos begins, you'll come to shul 10 minutes early. It will put you in a frame of mind to properly prepare for Shabbos more than davening mincha early and then waiting to the very, very last minute before you get ready for Shabbos. But that's a side topic. So this question is discussed by all the mafarshim. A long discussion is a contradiction of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in one place says that a person should say it be mekabel it b'peh, and on the other hand, the Mishnah Berurah is mashma that it's automatic. And the basic pshara he explains, see, I don't remember all the names of all those swan that explain this idea, but this is an idea that he brings out in many, and it could be it's a Taz, Smogin Avram, they bring out this idea in many different ways, is that there are two different forms of Kabbalah Shabbos. There is a small amount of Tosefes Shabbos, which is automatic. Meaning, if you come to shul Friday 10 minutes before, you come to shul early, it's, and you're already in the Shabbos mode, it's as if you said the words on the Kabbal Shabbos. L'may nafkamina, if you come to shul even for mincha, see, it's a little bit of a problem because that mincha, how close you're coming to davening mincha, I don't know how all the details work out, but once you're already in the Shabbos mode, it's as if you explicitly said on the Kabbal Shabbos and you can't do malacha. If you need to do one more thing when you're already in the frame of mind that it's Shabbos, even though the sun has not yet set, let's say for argument's sake, you daven mincha, let's say they daven mincha on your shul 20 minutes before sunset, and they finish mincha It's now they finished mincha, and now you're being lechun aranna. And you didn't say Mizmashil Yom HaShabbos. You didn't say Baruch Hu. It doesn't matter. Once already you're sitting down to daven Kabbalah Shabbos and the sun has not yet set, it's as if you were Makabal Shabbos. And the proof to this halacha comes from the laws of a fast day. On a fast day, if a person wants to accept upon himself a private fast day, I had a bad dream, I want to fast tomorrow, or whatever the situation is, it's not considered a fast unless you're mekabel tainus of mincha the day before. And the person does not, at the tefillah of mincha the day before, insert in the nusach of Shemona Esrei that tomorrow I'm mekabel upon myself a fast, even if he fasts the entire day, he gets no credit for fasting. You must be a formal Kabbalah. But what about the Dalat Taniyos, Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Teves, Som Gedalia, Shavas B'Tamos? You don't have to be Mekabel. Why? Because since the entire Tzibur is Mekabel Shabbos, it's Ki'ilu. You don't have to say one word. It's Ki'ilu, you are Mekabel Atainus, and the next day when you fast, you get the full credit. It's the same exact thing for a small amount of Tosefes Shabbos. Since every single member of Klal Yisrael has a mitzvah deraisa to Mekabel Shabbos, the small amount of time, I don't know exactly what it is, it says 13 minutes, he says. I don't know where that number comes from. It's 13 minutes before sunset. It's as if a person automatically accepted upon himself Shabbos, no matter what. You Mekabel Shabbos, and you can't do malacha. You're not allowed to do malacha, and you don't have to make a formal declaration. This is an acceptance of Shabbos. But if a person wants to be mahader, and he wants to mekabel Shabbos earlier, a half an hour early, or an hour early, that's a greater fulfillment of the kiyum deraisa of Tosefes Shabbos, then you must formally say, I am hereby mekabel upon myself Shabbos. And he quotes different gedolim where they would come early to shul on Friday, and they would sit down and learn before davening, half an hour before davening, and before they would sit down to learn, they would formally say, I am hereby mekabel upon myself Tosefes Shabbos. So basically we have two, what the basic yisoid of he's relating to us is, in the Sefer, that there are two different types of Tosefes Shabbos. There is the bare minimum, and then there is the extension. For the bare minimum, it's automatic. You don't need to have a formal Kabbalah. If you want to get a bonus of having an extension, then you must actually be Mekabel with words, say with words, I hereby want to be Mekabel Shabbos. He then, however, brings down a chiddush tremendous from the Ritva. The Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says the only way you can be mekabel Tosefes Shabbos is either with tefillah or kiddush. Even if you say with bepeh, I am hereby mekabel Shabbos right now, for a man it doesn't work. It's meaningless. You can do malach. We don't pass it like this. You can do malacha. The Ritva clearly says Kabbalah of Tosefes Shabbos can only be achieved through tefillah, saying Baruch Hu, or reciting Kiddush. That's the only way. And therefore, if you want a Tosefes Shabbos, you have to have an early Shabbos every single week, according to the Ritva. According to the Ritva, every single week you have to have an early Shabbos in order to be mekabel mitzvah deraisa of Tosefes Shabbos. Okay, let's go to a new topic. A new topic.
This is halacha. Let's say you didn't make Kiddush yet. It's early, that it's not Kabbalah Shabbos.
If you say Mizmashil Yom HaShabbos, you are certainly not allowed to do malacha. You can ask someone else to do malacha who has not yet Mekabel Shabbos, but you cannot do malacha.
Is there a kiveg? Are they called them a kiveg? Now, people say you walk into shul and you say somebody, you say
good Shabbos.
Or a good and Erev Shabbos.
Shabbos.
The reason for that is, Rabbi Kiva says, when you say Agut and Shabbos, that's already
Kabbalah Shabbos.
You
can't do any work. Because it's a Kabbalah Shabbos. That's a Kabbalah Shabbos. That's Kabbalah Shabbos. But he's saying even bigger chiddush. He's saying here you don't have to say anything. It's just like a tainus. Just like a tainus tzibur, you don't have to be mekabel b'mincha the day before. It's automatically the same thing. It's the last 13 minutes of the day, automatically it's a Kabbalah. It's Kabbalah's Tosefes Shabbos. It's a mitzvah deraisa.
Yeah, and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Of tights.
Yeah.
Pinchas made a takana that there's always one shul in that town that would be Makabel Shabbos at the summer, at the latest time, because people were getting stuck on the highways at the airport. So there should not be a kabbalah of the town.
In town.
There will always be a shul that will have the latest time.
So yechidim can always latch themselves on to that group. Okay, let's go to the next topic. The next topic regarding Shabbos is Birchas Habanim.
Families ready every week for people to get stuck so they can...
Okay, this is a minhag, time memorial for parents to bless their children Friday night. The first is Simchat Kofarim for Menashe, for boys, for girls is Kesar Rivka Rachav Leia, and then many continue and say Birchas Kohanim. Yivarechacha, Yoher Nisa. Question is, when you bless your children, when you say Yivarecha, are you permitted to rest both of your hands upon their head? Does anyone do that here?
One hand.
Okay, so it seems very common to use both hands. It seems very, very common for parents to rest both hands upon their children's heads. They have room for both hands. Okay, so they put both hands. So the question is, what is the issue? The Gra was very makbid on this. The Gra did not rest two hands upon a person's head when he said Yivarechacha, because it says in the pasuk, Kos Varchu Espinei Yisrael, so shall you bless. This halacha of resting two hands only given to Kohanim. It's not given to Yisraelim. And it's a lav haba mechlal haseh, a person, a Yisrael or a Levi, that rests two hands upon another individual and recites the psukim of Birchas Kohanim, he has violated a mitzvah saseh. A lav haba mechlal haseh is kaaseh. This is the shita of the Gra. It's recorded, the Gra was very makbid on this. However, the Olam is not makbid on this. And the question is why? L'chor the Gra is right. What are the heterim? So just to list off, to rattle off the heterim, number one is some say you have to have kavana that you want to do Birchas Kohanim. If you don't have kavana that you want to do Birchas Kohanim, I'm not having kavana, Birchas Kohanim. Who says this? Answer the Mishnah Berurah. And the Mishnah Berurah says all of this is based upon the principle of mitzvahs, tzrichos kavana. When it comes to a mitzvah d'oraisa, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, when you do a mitzvah, do you need kavana, do you not need kavana? So the Mishnah Berurah says that seemingly with regard to this is a very gray area when you apply that principle, when you do not apply that principle. Similarly over here, we apply the principle of mitzvah tzrichos kavana. If you want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, it's a mitzvah deraisa, you have to have kavana. There is no parent who is a Yisrael who is having kavana to be mekayim Birchas Kohanim when they rest their hands upon the head of their child and wish them Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha. So therefore, there's no kavana, you're not doing a mitzvah, you're not doing Bal Taisif, so there's no harm done, there's nothing wrong. The Mishnah Berurah himself is mefakfik. He is not happy because he holds it's not so simple. There is a whole long collection of poskim, instead of rules, it's not so clear that mitzvahs don't require kavana. Just doing a mitzvah automatically, you get credit. So then the Gra L'chor is right that putting your hands upon the child and giving him bracha, you're acting in the way of the kohen. But the Mishnah Berurah still leaves that it is acceptable. What are the other heterim? What?
I mean, that's a really hard to understand. If you're not a kohen, for example,
yes,
you're totally, out of the picture.
Out of the picture. But the pasuk says you're
you
pretending.
Can't possibly have any.
You're a pretender. Kol savarchu kol. Only a kohen can do this action of putting his hands, of raising his hands and saying this pasuk. Kol savarchu kohen. Yes, and Yisrael not. La v'amichlal asay is an asay.
So if you had intent, it wouldn't matter because you're not.
If you have intent, then you're violating the lois asay. Kol savarchu. So shall you kohanim shall bless. Only you kohanim and not Yisraelim. Here Yisrael is trying to do what he's told not to do. But am I really trying to do what I was told not to do? I'm not having kavanah to do this. I'm not having any intent to do this. So therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, you're right, you're not having any intent, so you're not doing anything wrong, because mitzvah strichos kavanah. But it's not so simple, because who says mitzvah strichos kavanah? The fact that you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, you're not a kohen, that itself touches upon the prohibition. The other heterim given, what?
Which mitzvah?
It's a lav haba mechlal asay kol sevarchu. Two extra words in the Torah. Two extra words. So shall you kohanim, you and not Yisraelim. Okay, now there's another answer. Another answer given is by the Rashba. The Rashba says a very important yisoy that Chazal were mesakin, the only time you do Birchos Kohanim is mitoch tefila b'tzibur. And the Mela giving a private blessing, no matter, even if you have kavana, you could stand on your head and have all the kavana you want. I want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Birchos Kohanim. it's Birchos Kohanim has been established, built into Chazal. It's part of Tefillah. So it has to be.
Even a rabbi, supposedly.
Exactly. Even a rabbi, that is correct. That's the heter. Exactly. Rabbi, it's very common in the olden time. Rabbanim, under the chuppah, they would give Birchos Kohanim, the rabbi. Why? It's not part of the Tefillah. Not part of Tefillah. There is no harm done. You can use both hands. A third heter is only the Kos Varchu means with a Shem HaMeforash. Saying just Yudke Vavke Yivarecha Hashem Yishvarecha without the Shem HaMeforosh is not a violation. Okay, so these are the three basic reasons: Tefillah, Kavana, Shem HaMeforosh, which includes the Beis Hamikdash.
The position of the fingers.
No, that doesn't make a difference. There's a third interpretation of that. You have to raise the hands up above the shoulder. So if the child's very small and you don't raise your hand to the shoulder, that's also a reason why it's not a problem. For what he writes here, it seems that it's more prevalent to use both hands. And certain people, there were different gedolim that only used one hand, but if parents use two hands, there's definitely
raise the hand above the shoulder in the base of the big touch. Nowadays,
anyway, but even raising your hand, even raising it higher, okay.
We're only benched today, also shoes.
Okay, but the
Talmidim and Hagim and the other Sfarim say that the originally Yefesim the son was only once a year at the Seder, and then it became only Matzah Shabbos after Havdalah, not Friday night. Because that's when you want the bracha. When you're going back to work, with what's the point of doing it Friday night? Being going to spend Kedusha V'Tara Shabbos. Who needs it?
But you have two malachim helping you with the bracha.
Going back to the work week, that's when you need the bracha.
But you have more kedusha.
It's supposed to be
Shabbos.
Saturday night, not
you
Friday
much,
night.
Much more power.
Okay, then he says something that is a little bit shocking. Okay, so you right away you walk away from this thinking that it's better only to use one hand. Now, you know, parents are not going to want to hear that. It's more of an expression of endearment to use both hands. So you're not going to want to hear only use one hand. The grah is the grah. With all respect to the grah, not everyone follows the minhagi hagrah. So you use two hands, and you have a whole long list of reasons why there is no issue whatsoever. However, he presents it from the Yavetz. The Yavetz was a Talmud of the Yavetz. Who's the Yavetz? So he says something shocking. He says, Adrabah, you should bedafka use two hands. Because the right hand represents, and we learned in Mishnah, the right hand is rachamim, and the left hand is din. And one without the other is no good. There has to be a balance. And we don't know, you give a bracha anyway, you're entering into the spiritual world. I'm giving you a bracha. You're giving a bracha, you want to do it right. When you give a bracha, it has to be balanced. There has to be rachamim, and din. Too much rachamim is sakana, too much nisakana. But adarabah, if you can use two hands, you should bedafka use two hands.
So those who hold one hand can do two kids at the same time, according to
let's finish up quickly. A few more quick short ideas. Hadassim, Friday night. Does anyone make a bracha borei atzei besamim on the night of Friday night before Kiddush? So Rava, there's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Omar Rava, chamra v'reichane pikchen. Wine and fragrance have made me wise. Chazal learned from this that whenever you make a bracha on yayin, you're also supposed to make a bracha on besamim, on spices. And especially Friday night, with the Gemara, Rashbi talks to the mice when he came out of the cave. He saw there were two Jews, and they were running Erev Shabbos with a bundle of hadassim. One of these hadassim, there were two bundles of hadassim. One was connected Zohar v'Shamar. It's a Ferish Gemara that it appears that Klal Yisrael had the minig in ancient times to smell hadassim Friday night. Just like Chazal Matzakan, and you make Kiddush al Hayayin, you should also bring in Shabbos with the Kedusha of Reach of Besam. By the Svardim, this is a very big thing. By Chassidim as well. I think it's Satmar Rav, there is a record. The Satmar Rav, before he made Kiddush Friday night, he made a bracha bori atzei besamim on, not bori mine, but atzei, because on hadassim, it's a piece of wood. It's not mine. He made a bracha bori atzei besamim. Al pi Kabbalah, they connect this to the Gemara. Very fascinating, the Gemara that says that when a person comes home from Shul 49, he is escorted by malachim, by angels. And the angel, he looks at the table, he looks at his, and he sees that the table is set and the bed is set, and everything is in order. The malach, or toiv, gives a bracha, it should be like this next year, and the other malach answers, Amen. So according to the Sifra Kabbalah, do these malachim, do they stay or do they leave? There's a big question. Do you say tseischem l'shalom when you say the piyut? Some do not say tseischem l'shalom. Even those who do say tseischem, it doesn't mean that you want them to leave now. It means that when you leave, bitseischem l'shalom, then you should give me a bracha. Bitseischem, don't leave right now. So the Mefarshim explains something very Kabbalistic. No idea what this means is that where are the malachim going to stay? Malachim need a chair. They need a place to sit down. When a malach comes to your home on Shabbos, just not going to fly around, float. Their wings get tired. They need a place to stand. They need a place to rest. These are Kabbalistic inyanim. So it says here in this sefer, it says they rest in the hadassim. That's where malachim rest. It's their makom in the hadassim.
No minute.
And therefore, if you don't have hadassim, if you don't make a bracha on hadassim, then they leave right away because they have no place. They have no place they find comfortable. This is a minig by Svardim. Svardim have a minig to make the bracha three times. You make it at night. You make it at night before you make Kiddush. You make it by day before you make Kiddush. And you make it during Shalosh Su'udos. You have to go to Chassidus Shal Shus. They make Bar Priya Gofen in the middle of the Su'udah. Before you get into the Zmiros, you say Bar Priya Gofen. Before you say Bar Priya Gofen, you say Borei Atzei Bisson. This we don't do among us. We've never seen it done. But by Chassidim, they don't do this. The Chassidim, they only do, some groups of Chassidim do it at Friday night. No one, it appears, does this among the Ashkenazim. Among Chassidim, does it by Shabbos day or by Shalosh Su'udos. Okay, then we have B'Sam and Mitzvah Shabbos, so that we have Hakpada B'Davka B'Mitzvah Shabbos to make Borei Mine B'Sanim, not Atzei B'Sanim, which would prevent us from using Hadassim, because Hadassim are Atzei B'Sanim, which is problematic. Number one, there's a Chazal that says that the Hadassim that you use for the Lulav and Eshrik, you should use the whole year round. But the problem is, if you're going to use the whole year round for Mitzvah Shabbos, first of all, it's going to dry up very quickly. It's a wrong bracha, so it means then you're supposed to mix it with a different. Okay, last topic, quick topic, and that is yayin. There's a halacha that the kiddush, the yayin that we use for kiddush, says in Chazal, should be the same type of yayin that's roy to pour for nesachim. Every carbon is accompanied by pouring of wine on the mizbech nesachim. The wine that was poured on the mizbech for nesachim was very, had a lot of requirements. The main requirement was chol sa'or. It also has to be sheikh yayin sheikh, wine that's right to ferment. So all of our wines have two problems. Number one, they're mixed with sugar or sugar. Sugar, according to the Poskim, has the same status as devash. What many wines, the vast majority, even dry wines, he claims, many even dry wines have some sugar, small amount of sugar. So it says in the pasuk, "Kol sar v'chol devash lo saktidu mimenu ishela Hashem." So that the sugar is considered to be devash. So that would disqualify any wine that has sugar, which almost all wine added sugar would be disqualified for use. And if any wine that's mevushel, that is cooked, is also cannot ferment. That's not called sheikha. Yain, it's not called yain in the Torah's terminology, would be disqualified. So in a chanami, we're not makbid on this. What? Narif in the Sochem. And if it's Narif, so there's a link that says that the yain that you use for Friday night, the kiddush, should be the same yain that is roy for in the Sochem. And therefore, the vast majority, at least 40 days old. The yain used in the Sochem, I think, was 40 days old. Because 40 days old, it can ferment.
But yain in Hebrew is still good for kiddush.
All wines are good. Yichamar Medin is also good. You can make Kiddush on bread as well. But it's not the Hidr. It's not Mehudr. We are not Makbid. The vast majority of us are not Makbid. No, it doesn't mean why. We're not Makbid on this at all. But there is such a thing. There is such a thing. The reason why this became spooky, this is a very interesting thing, is because Chazal said that a person who suffers from, doesn't suffer blindness, a person during the week, running during the week, causes a person to, his eyes are dimmed. And the refuah for the eyes comes Friday night, the kiddush, the yayin of Friday night. So someone said you only get this, now it doesn't just mean that your eyesight, it becomes weak, a new pair of glasses. It means much deeper things. It means that during the week a person, there's a certain, you read in Kedusha, and in order to get back this Kedusha, you need Kiddush Friday night, is what brings a person's eyesight, his perspective in life back 100%. That only works if you do it, what Chazal have instructed, use the proper wine with all of the Hedrum. Okay, most of us are not all Makbido on these things, but there are people that like that, have a certain affinity towards this Indian of being Makad for a night with wine that is mehudr, which creates for them many, many problems. You're not allowed to have one that has sugar, and you're not allowed to have one that is mevushal. So what do you do? So you basically said, and he has a discussion, he goes through all the current, it's wines pasteurized and it's mevushal, and even the wines that they claim have no sugar, do have sugar, and have other additives, which may have the status of sar and devash. And he says something very, very simple. He says, you want to do all the hedrum, it's very, very simple. You buy grapes, and just make your own exquisite. You squeeze your own grapes, perfect. You have every single hiddur, every possible hiddur you can possibly want in 40 days. You have to wait 40 days. You have to wait 40 days. But then he holds his natash and ego of the 40 days. And then he says something that is shocking. He says that there's a minhag to make kiddush in the Beis HaKnesses Friday night. Today it's become almost extinct, this minhag. Who does it anymore? Who makes kiddush for night and shul? Here they do it. In the Young Israels, the German minhag, they still do it. But in all the new shuls, they don't do this anymore. Because there's even Rav Moshe, the shul, but Rav Moshe holds that it's probable not to do it in a new shul. Because it was meant for the people in the Beis HaKnesses, the guests, and there aren't any guests anymore, so it's a shiloh bracha levatal. Okay, so it's not a bracha because it's part of Shulchan Aruch. But he says over here something shocking. He says the reason why they did it was because in ancient times, most people could not afford wine. Right. And they made kiddush on bread. And they're not yoitze. They're not yoitze the kiddush and shul. Kiddush b'makam suda. So there's no purpose. There's no purpose in them making kiddush and shul and yayin and the kiddush and shul, because anyway they have to go home, and when they go home they're going to make kiddush on bread. This was a fact, an historical fact. Wine was very rare. People made kiddush on bread, but they still made kiddush and shul on yayin. Why? No, and there weren't even no guests in the shul at that point, any time in the shul. You know why? Because they wanted to give the tzibur the opportunity to have the skula. I don't want to use the word school. It's not really a good word. It's not really a school to fulfill the maimer chazal. Chazal say that a person during the weekday, his eyes suffer. There's a yurida in the koyach of the einayim during the weekday, and that koyach of the einayim that was yurid during the week is restored Friday night at kiddush through the koyach of yayin. Either it means putting the wine in your eyes, or drinking the wine, or just being part of a kiddush suda where yayin is served, in order to give the tzibur the fulfillment of the Maimer Chazal to restore the koyach of the koyach of Einayim Friday night, they made kiddush and shul. It's an amazing thing. They made kiddush and shul not because they need the kiddush and shul, not because of for this chazal that there should be yayin, and that he says is only fulfilled if it's done in the Muslim, the same way they did it in the shul for the tzibur. It has to be done by the mehudar to get all the milas. So and the mehudar is grape juice. What? Today, no, the shul certainly don't have the kosher wine. That's for sure. The shul wine for sure is going to be cooked. Okay, no one's going to dare bring in a bottle of wine that's not mevushal into a Beis HaKnesses. That's not going to happen today. I mean, in your house, okay, maybe you can be careful. You're not going to bring it into a shul because there's always going to be workers and goyim touching wine. And the wine they buy in shul is going to be most likely full of sugar and all other ingredients, ketem, grape juice. But it's something interesting. You never thought about these things. I'll get a toast.
This is grape juice does not have added sugar.
Added sugar?
Does not.
But it's pasteurized.
Of course.
The other ingredients, he said, they do. But they have. Do you have? Is it pure? 100% pure? There's nothing added.
That's what they claim.
He claims over here they add something else into it.
The other
100% pure? Okay, could be. All right, I just thought these were interesting ideas.